James chapter 3 this morning. Book of James chapter number 3. You know, I thank the Lord for the Sunday school this morning. Disjointed, the man said, we didn't notice it. So, answered some questions, many questions that are just a blessing. James chapter number 3. Message been on my heart for a while and I haven't put it down on paper. Probably a good while. I'd like to go to James chapter 3, and we're going to start reading in verse number 11. It's speaking here of the tongue, it's speaking here of the heart of man, and as we pick it up here in verse number 11, it says, "Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of the good conversation," that's his lifestyle there, "his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Father, I thank you today for your precious word. And Lord, I thank you for how you worked in my heart about this very thing. And Lord, I pray that you're honored this morning. I pray, God, that you'd speak to each one of our hearts, for we desperately need you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, folks, I don't know if it's you this morning, but I hear there's a sound in that sound system. Do you folks hear that? Okay, is that normal? Okay, it's talking to me when I talk. So it is. Yeah. Yes, sir. Okay, no problem. We're going to go right ahead with it anyway. You know, he's a prince of the power of the air, and he gets in the sound system, and I believe that's a fact a lot of times, but that's a distraction. Nonetheless, we're going to go here. It's in James chapter 5, all right? Now, folks, let me start this thing out. In the book of Proverbs, chapter number 8, the Bible speaks about the subject of wisdom, the importance of it, the greatness of it, the need of it. You read there, even chapter 8, the previous chapter, talks about wisdom and the importance of it. And then, of course, the whole thing in chapter 9. And verse 1 says, "Wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars." Now, pillars, by nature, are the support of a building, right? Or the support of an object. It's the support of something. And if the pillars fail, they crumble. So here we come now. Let's go ahead here to James chapter number 3. Okay? It speaks here of seven things here in James chapter 3 about godly wisdom. And about wisdom. Now listen, I've been speaking to the young people, and you guys know it. We've been talking about building our lives on the rock, all right? Not on the sand. And I'll tell you that the principles we're going to go over today, every one of us in the building this morning, need to focus on building our lives on these seven principles. Now folks, and listen, we know there's hundreds more in the Word of God. But this morning has to do with relationships. Has to do with churches, homes, workplaces, whatever it is. While James 3:17 here speaks of the characteristics or the pillars of God's wisdom, it says what it is here, all right? As opposed to the world's wisdom, which what it says here is earthly, sensual, devilish. God's wisdom is foundational. And as it is preached this morning, analyze your heart. Hey, listen, that's the great thing about Christianity. And that's the great thing about what I say, even as I came to Grace Baptist Church, I don't know how many years ago it was, is that the pastor gets up and preaches the Word of God, tells you what it says, and you go out here, hey, you can believe what you want to believe. That's a fact. You have free will. Here it is. Do what you want with it. See, basically. And I say a lot to say there's been a freedom since I've been here. Nobody's telling me, hey, we have that those Bible studies and everything that we get into here, and we get into some disagreements on this particular passage or that particular passage and what we think about this. But we all go out of here shaking hands. Okay? Because good men disagree, but you're not going to find that liberty every place. You're not. So what am I saying? Between you and God this morning. Not the preacher says. Between you and God, His Word. This morning. Talk about something foundational this morning. And it's wisdom. It's foundational. Number one, we see in verse 17 that wisdom is pure. It's not contaminated. It's free from defilement. Psalm 24 verses 3 and 4, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. He that hath not lifted his soul up unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. We're talking about a pure heart. I can remember having a conversation one time with a man, and folks, you know, an older preacher told me one time. He said, Ben, you got to realize something. He says, if you're going to preach God's word to people, he says, oftentimes you're going to expose yourself. He said, in order to lay down yourself for the truth's sake so that people can understand and identify with what is being taught here in this book, you're going to open yourself up a little. And having said that, let me say this. I remember having a conversation with a man one time, and I was wanting to know some things about someone else that I knew that this man knew about. But folks, I didn't want him to know that I wanted to know. Are you making sense? I was fishing. You ever do that? You see, it was none of my business anyway. Hey, you following me? None of my business. Was my heart pure in this? I'm going to tell you right now, it wasn't. No, it made no matter to me. How about you? What are the motivations of your heart in the circumstances and the situations of your life? You see. Wisdom's first pure. That's a pure motive. Proverbs 21:2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. God knows. My wife was talking to a 13-year-old girl, and she was sharing with her about how the girls at her school will get a pair of shoes or clothing that they really like, and they'll go to the other girls in their friend group, you know, and they'll say, "Oh, well, look at these shoes. I just hate these shoes." Or they'll say, "Ah, I got this new shirt, and I just hate it." And they do that so that the other ones will notice their new stuff and tell them how good it is. You know what I'm saying? There's an ulterior motive. You know, see, the point is simply this. We all have different heart motives for the things we say and we do. Are we doing it from a godly standpoint? Are we doing it as self-serving? Are these words and actions motivated by the wisdom that is earthly, sensual, devilish, or is it wisdom from above? Are your motives of what you do and what you say, are they pure or are they contaminated? What's God speaking to you about? That's it. Hey. I sat in my chair this morning and go over a message. God speaks to you about some things. There's none of us in the room this morning is exempt from the piercing eyes of the Son of God as He looks into our hearts. He knows by the way He cares. And you think He's looking at you at judgment. No, He's not. He's saying, no, child, I love you and I want you to come. You see, that's the difference. We need hellfire and brimstone preaching with a broken heart. With a broken heart. Because it's the truth, you see. But the second thing, godly wisdom is peaceable. We're talking about making decisions in light of God's word in our lives. I'm talking about our motives, about relationships. Peaceable. Peaceable simply means free from quarrel and fightings, of anger, of frustration. Free of worry. Is it peaceable? We're talking about the wisdom from God to make decisions as opposed to the world's wisdom. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 19 says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise." That's those that think they're wise in their own craftiness. God takes them. I remember, folks, this about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I went to look at a job, do a big old silver maple. Guy said he wanted it trimmed, and it was by high voltage power lines. Now, I don't know the difference between lines that are 7,000 volts, 14,000 volts, or 20 whatever volts. I know the volts kill you, all right? The amps that run through that those volts are pushing through, they kill you. Well, I looked at this job, and I could see that there was some, what we saw in the, call in the tree business, we call them suckers. They were water sprouts growing up into this line, and they were probably 6 inches close, and the wind would blow, they'd flicker a little, and I thought to myself, boy, if I get up there, I could just cut those limbs off, and everything would be fine, and we could do that job. And my motive was, boy, I'd really like to have that job, and I could do it quick, and we could make pretty good money on it. Remember I said that the preacher sometimes exposes himself? That's the way it is. And that's what I thought. I'm just telling you where it's at. Well, anyway, I bid that job and I said, "Sir," I said, "I tell you what, I'm going to do that job Monday." This was on a Friday. I said, "I'm going to do that job Monday," I said, "because I don't want to think about it anymore. I just want to get it done. I don't know how you think, but when I don't want to do something, I want to do it now. I want to get it done." I went home that day and told my wife about it, and she said, "Well, aren't there power lines there?" I said, "Well, yeah, but they're not too bad." I said, I think I can do that without that, you know. And anyway, folks, I just want to tell you, that night I didn't sleep a lick. In fact, I even think I got out of bed and went down and sleep on the couch. That's what I do. And I can't sleep. I get down and I sleep on the couch. And I get my Bible and I get Matthew chapter 6 out. And I think on, it's stress. I thought, well, I didn't sleep good that night. The next day, I got up and I got to think about those wires again. Well, I just so I had to take some stuff up to the transfer station. So I hopped in a dump truck and we hauled things up to the junk there, you know, and I stopped in Center Hall after I was done, looked at that job again. It was bothering me. But no, it's not that close to the lines, you know. But yeah, I think we can do it. Well, the next night I didn't sleep good. Listen, what am I trying to tell you? It wasn't a peaceable decision. You hear what I'm saying? Monday come. Now we did that job. And it went fine with the lines. But I was in turmoil. And do you know what? Let me tell you the end thing of this right here. Is the fact that when I got done with that tree, that guy was so mad at me because him and his wife were disagreeing on how the tree should look. All right, and there was war inside the house that I was working at. And that meant it wasn't good relations anyway around that. I'm going to tell you, I experienced the chasing hand of God. And I know that I know, as soon as I'm standing right here on my 2 feet, it was God's chastening hand on my life saying, "Ben, you didn't make a right decision. You put yourself in danger. You put your crew in danger." And I want to tell you, there's mornings I watch my wife. She get out of bed, and I know she did because I could hear the lights go on and everything upstairs. And I thought, I hope I hear that again. I mean, it's ridiculous. But that's, I'm telling you, I didn't have any peace about the job. It was too close. You see, it was not, there was no peace. And it was a mess. Lord, let me get through the lines, fine. But boy, was there problems when it came time that the tree wasn't done right. You hear what I'm saying? Why? Because it didn't go with God's wisdom. I didn't make a right decision. And folks, I want to tell you something. When we make decisions in our lives, that are contrary to what God wants. And those seven pillars of wisdom, I'm going to tell you, there's not going to be any peace. Whatever it may be. God's wisdom is first pure. My motive wasn't pure. I mean, whatever. Yeah, I know you got to make a living, but listen, when it comes to wires and making a living, it wasn't pure. It wasn't peaceable as I stand here today. Number three, I want you to see, godly wisdom is gentle. It's gentle. It's mild, it's meek, it's soft. There's kids running around my house and carrying on and upsetting something. You know, oftentimes, you don't feel like being mild and meek and soft, okay? But that's what God wants out of us. I'm not saying that we don't take care of business and correct the children. That's also a sin if you don't correct the children. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about doing it right. Not in anger. You see, where this word gentle here in verse 17 is where we get our word for gentleman. Listen, men, there's no higher honor than to be called a Christian gentleman. I was at a grocery store one day, and I witnessed this, and I saw a man there, and a Christian man, and there he was introduced to another man by a group of friends. And this other man, not the Christian man, this other man was a proud individual. Okay, he was full of himself. He was kind of had a tough guy mentality, his muscle shirt and everything, you know. And he, right in front of all those people there when they introduced, belittled this Christian man, made light of him, in front of him. And it was so uncomfortable that it got silent in the midst of that group at that grocery store. And you know, it was inappropriate and it was rude. And after this man's rude comments, the Christian man said nothing. He just kind of backed out of the thing, you know, and he was taken back by it all, meeting this guy for the first time. And this group of people talked for a few more minutes, you know, and when everybody was about to go their separate ways, this Christian man reaches out to shake this guy's hand. Says, hey, he said, it's good to meet you. He patted him right in the back and he said, hey, I hope you have a great day. You know, the next time that Christian man saw that guy, he came right over to him, shook his hand, and said, hey, how are you doing? How you been? Why? Because it built a bridge. We don't want to do that. You know that? We just want to say, I don't want to deal with that guy. No, folks, we need to build bridges. And this wisdom will do it supernaturally. It's not about us. It's not about what we think. It's about what God desires. Gentle. Gentle. Not rough, not harsh, not severe. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24. And the servant of the Lord. Listen to the servant of the Lord. I just love this verse because it puts me in my place. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. How are you going to teach somebody the way of salvation if you can't talk to them nice? We're not. And I know some people you may not be able to talk too nice. Or should I say, they're not going to talk to you nice, but you can talk to them nice. It's not about our actions. It's, folks, a lot of times it's about our reactions. You see. How do you handle those things? How do you deal with them? God's wisdom. But number four. First, wisdom's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's easy to be entreated, it's approachable, it's willing to change his or her mind or position based on truth or the good of others. That's being easily entreated. 1 Samuel chapter 25, you guys know about King David and his mighty men and how they came to a man by the name of Nabal. How many know about Nabal? You've heard of him. You know him. King David came and he said, listen, and buddy, he had an army. You didn't want to mess with those guys. And he comes to Nabal and his young men, his sheep shearers. And he said, hey, how about giving us some food to keep us going? Nabal says, who's David? Who's the son of Jesse? Boy, Nabal put him down. I'm not giving him anything. Now, from what I understand, the word Nabal itself simply means fool. Nabal was not easy to be entreated. Let me ask you a few questions. Do you get angry with your spouse or your kids when they ask you for something? You say, well, not all the time. Right? That's true, right? Think on it. Are there certain people that you can't even talk to without an argument? Are you easy to be entreated? I understand the other person has a free will. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. But so does God. He wrote it. We're talking about our reactions. Amen? That's what we're talking about. Are there certain subjects you can't even talk about without getting angry and defensive? Are you an approachable person? Are you living life in light of God's wisdom from above? Pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. What is God dealing with you right now in your heart and life? And let him have his way. Whatever it is. He loves you. He loves others. But number five, full of mercy and good fruits. All that needs to be in my life. Full of mercy and good fruits. It readily shows compassion to others with kind actions. I know of a situation where a man stole a lot of money from a charitable organization. Now, he shouldn't have done that. And it was a lot of money. Well, it caught up with him, and he got caught and everything. He apologized. He paid fines, everything, you know, and it was public. You say, well, that's a low thing he did. And that's what the community said. Well, it was. And he said he was wrong. I watched it one day in a restaurant. Guy walked in there. People wouldn't look at him, wouldn't shake his hand, wouldn't talk to him. Well, you know what he did. Oh, so you never made a mistake. Huh? I'd like to say the whole community. Hey, folks, raise your hand if you never made a mistake, if you never messed up. Every one of us in this room have. You see, but preacher, it was inexcusable. Listen, nobody in this room this morning deserves mercy. None of us. But we all need it. Every single one of us need it. And so do the folks that you deal with in your lives. They need it. Where are they going to see it if they don't see it from you? You say, yeah, but preacher, you don't know that situation. Hey, listen, you know what? Jesus Christ does. And he said, I'm going to die for him. Full of mercy. Who in your life are you continually holding a grudge against? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Matthew 9 and verse 36, the Bible says, but when he saw the multitudes, that's everybody. Jesus Christ said when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Oh, folks, we see him every day around us. In dire need. Just dying and going to hell to see somebody that is true and lives for Jesus Christ to show them that love. Why should we show mercy? Because people need the Lord. Number six, without partiality. Oh, what did God deal with my heart? God has dealt with my heart on this. It means that you treat everyone with respect and kindness, regardless of social class, rich or poor. And when we were in high school, I remember, of course, you had the popular kids. You had the misfits, so to speak. You had the various groups between the guys and the girls sports teams. You had the people in the band. You had the Votech students, the FFA, Future Farmers of America, all kinds of clubs and different groups that young people in those groups, and we know what, that's where you found your identity with these groups. I remember this one girl came to school in the fifth grade, and I feel so bad about it. Maybe it was the second grade. I don't know what grade it was. Anyway, she came to school, and she didn't have nice clothes. She didn't always smell that nice either. You know what I'm saying? She came from a rough home, a rough background. Boy, we made fun of her so bad. I wish I could go back and do it over. You say, well, that's no big deal. That's just kid stuff. No, it is a big deal. I'd stuck with her the rest of her life. I'd be ashamed of myself. I am. Listen, we got to treat people right. And if you've been the subject of that, and you've been on the bad end of the deal on that, and somebody making fun of you, oh, hey, dear friend, you reach out to others and love them. Because you know how it feels. Without partiality. Be nice, be kind, be gentle to all. Listen, it honors Jesus Christ. And we in this local church, we identify with His body, the true church of Jesus Christ. That's who we identify with here. Grace Baptist Church, that's what's taught here. Let's put it that way. We want to, that's our goal, to identify with Jesus Christ. We are His church. If you're saved today. Ephesians 5:2 says, and walk in love, even as Christ hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. It honors Him. That sweet savor of your behavior and of your life and of your attitude goes up into the nostrils of God, and He's well pleased. Because it's the Spirit of His Son in you. And that's not natural, folks. That's supernatural. That conquers all the wickedness and anger and evil thoughts we have. It conquers it. It actually shoots, smacks it down. You see. Number 7, without hypocrisy. Hypocrisy means sincere. It means what you see is what you get. Okay, that's what it is. What you see is what you get. No pretending, no mask or facade. When a man or a woman are without hypocrisy, they don't need a mask, amen? They don't need it. Their conscience is clear and free, and they have a spring in their step, and they're not worried about her. And they sleep good. Not like the guy that bid the job around the lines. Okay? You see, they don't need to pretend. And folks, you and I, we can go on tonight, and we all know, I know of deacons in churches that have turned out to be cheating on their wives for years. We know preachers who in the ministry for years have been hooked on alcohol and it comes out, 20 years later and all this and they got to resign. We hear these different things. We know of young men in college training for the ministry. One guy turned out, he graduated college and today he's a transvestite. Okay, and here's the thing, and he's even tries to use the scripture to justify what he's doing. And that, without hypocrisy means you are who you are in front of everyone. Honest, sincere, transparent, and not ashamed. Hebrews 13:18 says, pray for us. This is Apostle Paul. It's right in Hebrews, okay. I think it's the Apostle Paul. He says, pray for us, for we trust that we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. A good conscience. Without hypocrisy. That's those 7 pillars right there. As we saw in Proverbs 9, that there are 7 pillars of God's wisdom in verse 1 there. And folks, if the pillars are missing, or if they're weak, the building can't stand. Sometimes we find ourselves teetering, don't we? We find ourselves a little lopsided. Is the building standing in your life this morning? What is it? Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Oh, let's not let them be destroyed. Let's go on for the Lord. The foundation of our thinking, of our decision making, we can find a lot of it here in these set of principles that will build our lives and our relationships. What has God spoken to you about this morning? About your foundation. The foundation of your thinking. Let's go ahead this morning and bow for prayer. In just a minute, I'm going to pray, and Pastor's going to come and lead us in a hymn. And if God spoke to your heart, if you need whatever it is that you need to do and to confess, we know it's between you and the Lord. You need to come to this old-fashioned altar. Let God have His way. Just pour out your heart before Him. Father, I thank You this morning for Your Word. I thank You that it's the measuring stick by which we are measured and by which we need to live by. And I pray that You would work in each mind and each heart this morning about this matter of Your seven principles of wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.